America hate are the very same people made America great. When the King of England started pushing Yankees around, we had a little trouble up in Boston town. There was a brave Negro, Crispus Attucks was the man, was the first one to fall when the fighting began. Colin Kelly was the pilot.
Adrian Claiborne wrote this song with singer, labor activist, and husband Bob Claiborne in 1938. Soundbeat is produced at the Belfer Audio Archive, Syracuse University Libraries. I'm Brett Barry.
KAKU 88.5 FM, the voice of Maui.
It's time to pound the poi on the local show, KAKU FM Kahului Maui, the voice of Maui.
Kill with Frankenstein right here on the local show, KAKU 88.5 FM, the voice of Maui. It's another Thursday afternoon frights with Brother Jared and me, Brother Tony Midnight. We'll be talking about horror films that we recently viewed. I also got a list of what I've watched so far in the past week.
Ooh.
When it comes down to the 31 Days of Halloween Horror Movie Challenge, I am watching a whole bunch of stuff left and right. So, yeah. It's crazy, man. So, hey, how's it going, man?
Good, good. How about you?
I'm doing okay, you know, keeping in the spirit. I've been doing a lot of things over here, decorating, but I got to take it all down on Tuesday for reasons.
Keep it up, man.
Can't. Christians don't like it. You know, I like that one, viral video that's going around. It's like this lady saying, we're Christians, but on Halloween, we don't celebrate Halloween, but we do like to get dressed up and pass candy around, and like, that's Halloween. We're Christians, we don't celebrate Halloween, but we do like to get dressed up. That's Halloween. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Gee whiz. Anyways, we got some movies to talk about. You recently watched the latest in the Damien Leone's
trilogy.
So far. Terrifier.
Terrifier.
I haven't read anything. I haven't looked at any spoilers.
Okay.
I'm quite sure because I've...
Have you heard the controversy surrounding this film?
Controversy surrounding the film? Not really, but no. I heard already that there's a sequel slated to this one.
Yes. And so. I think it's very important that you go in knowing that there is a fourth one. Because this does sort of end in a way where you're like, oh, that's it?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm waiting for either stream or to pick up my own digital copy of the film.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. This Friday, I am picking up Long Legs. Finally. Okay. I'm just fingers crossed that it's still there on the rack when I get there.
Yeah.
I hope people like just pass by and go, we're not going to buy that movie. I heard it's banned.
I know. I think I'm getting my copy of Oddity next week.
Oddity.
I really want to check
that movie. I really want to watch that movie too.
Yeah, because I don't have Shudder, but I mean that's that one's coming out on Blu-ray.
I'm surprised that it's already getting a digital a media release. So
yeah. Well, no, because it came out in this past summer, early summer.
Wow, I'm thinking it came out just last month or something, or like late
on
August.
Shudder, maybe. On Shudder.
Yeah, on Shudder. Yeah. Oh,
but then it
okay.
came out in theaters, like select theaters, in early early summer.
Awesome. Awesome.
All right, so one I'm definitely going to talk about.
Let's get into, you're going to start it off with Terrifier 3.
Yeah.
How was that film? Did you get a barf bag?
You know what? No. If I'm going to be 100% honest, I think that the substance was probably still holding the bar for grossest movie I've seen this year.
All right.
But Terrifier 3 still holds up. It is just as, or if not slightly lower, gross and shocking and disgusting as the second one.
I just like the idea that gore films are back in the mainstream.
Yeah.
You know?
It's dude, my theater was packed.
Really?
There were kids in my theater dressed up as Art the Clown. I was like, they're getting away with this.
They're getting away with kids watching this material. But I think it's like, the family's like, it's all make-believe.
Yeah.
It's all make-believe.
There was this old auntie, man. Yeah. I thought she was going to croak.
Oh, my goodness.
But I was in a packed theater. It was so unreal to be, I don't know, it's been a long time since I've actually gone to a horror movie where there was just a lot of people, especially for Maui. You know, Maui's not really well known to have too much horror fans to fill the seats.
Yeah, but for Art the Clown being a iconic character now in the horror canon.
Yeah.
He's just blown up. He's like, he's so merchandising, you know.
He's the face of Spirit Halloween, pretty much.
Art the Clown, the cereal box, you know. Art the Clown, the t-shirt. Art the Clown, the bumper sticker. You know, it's just like Spaceballs. It's all merchandising.
Yeah.
And clever at that, you know. It's good to see a true blue horror fanatic, because Damien Leone is already, he's one of us. Yeah. He's one of us, and he created something that just became so iconic.
Yeah. I know he wanted to sort of retire the Halloween thing, the Halloween vibes, because he didn't want to feel like he was repeating himself.
Yeah.
So you know, he was like,
season this time.
He chopped up seasons. He was like, you know what? He's like, there's not really much of a Christmas slasher out there anymore.
Yeah.
Not that it used to be, you know? Like, you know, he really drew a lot of, like, influences and, like, inspiration from Black Christmas or Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of that grain in the film that exists to make it feel like this movie does exist in the 70s. But, you know, of course, the only thing that breaks that illusion is cell phones.
Yeah, right?
But it has the vibes.
Good movies that have come out that have that old school nostalgic 80s kind of like grindhouse vibes to it, you know? I mean, you know, Tarantino did it a long time ago, but it's amazing to see that there's more filmmakers nowadays that are grasping onto the nostalgia concept and giving us that ultra violence, you know? I mean, Thanksgiving was really big when it came out in the theaters. You know, we're waiting a long time for that one with Eli Roth. And I think around the same time, too, that's when Terrifier 2 got its initial release. A little bit before Thanksgiving or after?
I think it was the year before.
The year before.
Yeah, because I remember Terrifier 2 came out at a time where theaters were just reopening from the pandemic.
Yeah, that's right.
And I remember going to see Terrifier 2 in a limited screening over at Kahumanu Theaters. And there was, like, me, my buddy Aaron, and I think Francine and her family got to go watch it. And that was pretty much it. There was, like, maybe 8 people total watching Terrifier 2.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was one heck of an experience.
What was the reaction like during the bedroom scene?
Oh, the bedroom scene. I heard I think Francine made like a disgusting noise. I kept looking over to my friend. My friend was just like, he was about to bust out tears. I was like, poor girl. She didn't deserve this. And I was like, oh my God, this is still happening.
Yeah, right?
Like,
so from there with the bedroom scene in Terrifier 2, which was the ultimate at that point.
Right.
Yeah, although the rest of the movie was equally as gory, but not as gory and as depraved as that one scene. How does it carry over to 3 now?
So 3 has a shower sequence.
I heard about an opening scene that was... Is that the shower sequence? Is that the opening scene? Because I heard...
No. So the opening scene, and if I'm going to be honest, it's not the worst. But if people talk about the opening scene, there is another scene that happens at a mall. And when they talk about the opening scene and the mall, that is literally because children die in this movie.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Children die in this movie, and that was the biggest controversy, was because a lot of people were like, oh man, boycott this movie, like, terrible, horrible. I'm like, this is not the first time children have died in movies.
Yeah, dude, a clown ate a kid's arm in It.
Yeah.
Not to mention several other children.
Seems a lot more traumatizing than what happens in here, if I'm going to be honest. I think they do it in a way where it's very tasteful, where, because they don't show a blade going into a child's body. You see aftermath, like pieces and bits, which obviously look like practical effects. Obviously, it's meant for shock and value, but it really shows you that nobody is off limits.
Is there a scene involving a deathcore concert?
No, that is the music video.
That's the music. Okay. I was like watching this music video. I was like, this is not from Terrifier 3, right? And I turned the video off.
No. No, actually, what you watched was a music video directed by Damian Leon and collaborated with a very well-known metal band called Ice Nine Kills.
Ice Nine Kills. Yeah. Okay, I heard about these guys.
They even got the actress of the girl who got split in half in the first movie.
Yeah.
They got her to make a cameo in there, and they also got David Howard Thornton to be Art the Clown in this music video. But it's a 15-minute music video. It's so fun. It's kind of weird.
Kind of like a short film.
It's a short film, but like with the music video in the front.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, worth checking out,
but it has nothing to showcase in part 3. Okay. If you were worried about that, worried about spoilers. But that one is really good. That one was a really good song to
listen. I gotta watch that. Yeah. Okay, so with Terrifier 3, there are several scenes that overall trumps the gore from part 2 then.
If I'm gonna be honest, I think it's either little or to the same. There are really messed up violent scenes that happen in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I personally think that 2 is still top tier opposed to the third one.
But the 3 is the first time he uses a chainsaw.
3 is the first time he uses the chainsaw. Yeah, and that is supposed to be the scene that is supposed to be the iconic death scene of that installment.
I know. There's been promo videos where you have crowd reactions.
Yeah.
And it's that scene. And they're like going that. Yeah. But I get the feeling like sometimes the people that they choose for these crowd reaction recordings is like, you watch horror movies? I like some horror movies sometimes.
Yeah, to be fair, those people that they got the reactions out of, they had no idea they were watching Terrifier 3.
Oh, so it was a surprise.
It was a surprise screening, and it was free. So who's going to go watch that? Pretty much anybody.
I want to be a part of that crowd.
Yeah.
You mentioned that, like, I get chosen, okay, what are we going to watch? It's a surprise, and you sit down, and it's Terrifier 4.
Yeah.
And like they're having a crowd reaction taping here on Maui.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
So yeah, what I really liked about it is that they picked up 5 years after the first movie. You know, they
5 years. That's a long stretch.
A long stretch. They do pick up directly after the events of 2, where you do follow like what happened with Art and that whole scene where Vicky in the mental hospital and. Vicky and Art. That's all I can say as opposed to not getting into graphic details. But Vicky is actually on for the ride in this one. She actually has a much bigger role. They even have the same actress, Samantha Scafidi, and they pretty much go on a little duo chaos trip together. I mean, Art the Clown is still the star.
Does the pale girl make a appearance in this one?
No.
Oh,
but there is a reason to that.
Oh, it's a spoiler.
It
If it's a spoiler, then I don't want to know. I'll wait till I watch it.
No, myself. Because it also has to do with why Vicky is in the picture in this one. So that's all I got to say.
Figured it out already. Then
figured it out. Oh shoot! I'm sorry. but yeah. So they kind of.
This is how my mind works. Yeah. Like, wait, possession. Wait, what? Maybe.
You're on the right track, but not exactly what you think it is.
It's supernatural in nature. Demonic in nature.
That's all you gotta know.
Demons work differently.
Yeah.
They work differently.
Getting into that, they do kind of unravel a little bit more of the lore that they set up in the second one.
Okay.
But there's a lot of questions still left on the table. So by the time this movie ends, and it has a really just wild third act, I felt a little bit like, oh great, I want the fourth one already.
Yeah.
I want the fourth one. The ending of this one kind of left me a little bit like half full, half satisfied, mm-hmm. because I just want to get there already. You know, it was great, but I want to get to where they're going, because apparently the fourth one is supposed to be the final chapter.
Oh,
supposedly, because I know that Damian Leone did say in an interview, he's like, he did want to make a character that would rival just as good as horror icons as Jason, Michael, and Freddy, mm-hmm. but he didn't want to make it to a point where the stories become pointless if he were to make more.
Oh, okay.
So he wanted to be a solid 4-5 film deal. And yeah, but I think we're heading into a really crazy territory after this one.
Nice.
So
Terrifier, yeah. Art the Clown, man, the new iconic slasher in the horror genre. Yeah. I'm like, wow, that's cool. So I'm not. I when I get the chance, I'm gonna check the movie out. Definitely, absolutely, rather be on streaming and or, because you never know. If it's released now, but since it's a Christmas horror movie,
yeah. No, that's why it's gonna
have a December release.
It's gonna have a December release, and that's the only reason why it came out during October and not December.
Okay.
Because I know my buddy was like, why didn't they just release it? Because it's such a perfect Christmas movie. And I'm like, that's the point. So you can watch it at home by then.
Yeah, yeah. So you can spend more money via at home by way of either streaming and or picking up an actual copy.
Mm.
Hope an actual copy is released by then. And if not, then...
Oh, like, no, they've already started dropping the art covers of what they're going to use.
Did?
Mm-hmm. They're even releasing a trilogy set, but it's not something you can find in the stores.
Okay, so it's going to be like special other websites you have to pick it up from, mm-hmm. like Umbrella or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, right on. Well, then now let me get into my movie. You let me borrow this movie.
Yeah.
And Saturday morning, I wake up.
That's how you started your morning?
Yes, that's how I started Saturday morning. Yeah, and and my auntie was awake for half of it too. She was like, she woke up and said, "What are you watching?" I'm like, "I'm watching The Sadness." Sadness, released back in 2021, it's a Taiwanese horror film, but written and directed by a Canadian filmmaker. Very interesting. The filmmaker's name is Rob Jabaz. I hope I'm pronouncing his last name right. But overall, here's the thing, though. I have a family that we cannot watch horror movies at night. I can watch horror movies at night. I cannot watch horror movies when everybody's in the back room having dinner kind of thing. So I can't do that. So I watch it in the morning, turn it on, and we're just locked to the screen going, what are we watching? What's happening? If you don't know what The Sadness is about, it's about a city, I think Taipei City in Taiwan, and there is the idea of the virus. It's a virus. Everybody's talking about a virus that's happening, kind of like a secondary COVID happening, but they don't know the extent of the infection until this couple wake up in the morning. He goes and drop off his girlfriend. She has to go to work. She got to catch the train to work. He's on a moped, and then you just see everybody in the town start going mad, completely mad. I was going in there thinking, this is going to be a zombie movie. It's going to be like Train to Busan. No. Apparently, the virus attacks the area of the brain that intensifies rage and, I guess, overall immoral pleasure and or depravity. The depravity and torturous area of the mind is activated. So you basically get an army of psychotic, horny zombies running the streets. Not completely like horny. Like, this is a bad kind of horny. You don't want to be this kind of horny.
Like it was the crazies, but just like uncracked.
On crack, majorly. You know, they're eating, bite, chewing necks apart. They're tearing apart people with teeth and or weapons. They're capable of thought. They can talk, but everything out of their mouth is just expletive. I'm gonna do this to you. The dialogue alone is like, whoa! Who came up with this dialogue? Comparing to like horror dialogue from exploitation movies of the 70s and 80s, this one goes super far. And I got kind of the feeling like they tried to do something like this in the past. Cronenberg had a movie called Shivers where people get infected with this this alien type virus.
Right? Oh, that's what Shivers is.
Yeah, Shivers. Yeah, they get infected with a type of virus, and it causes their mind to become immoral. It's like sex zombies.
Is it like Slither?
Something like
or Invasion of the Body.
Here's the thing with Slither, though. Here's the thing with Slither. Slither kind of borrows off of Night of the Creeps. If you've never seen Night of the Creeps.
No, I own that one. That one's
yeah,
good one.
That's Night of the Creeps. Yeah. Them. That's where Slither kind of came from. They bought out the idea of that, and at the same time, it kind of like it's an alien virus, right? Mm-hmm. This one is almost similar because, you know, they get a little randy in that one, but this one is superbly just depraved to the point. There's a scene where these tennis boys... These tennis jock boys, these teen boys, are like just digging into this guy. they're just doing things to this guy. You think the guy's suffering until the dude saves him. The boys run away, and the guy's telling him, "Why did you make them stop? What?" And then he starts going mad, and I'm like, "What the hell is this virus?" Already, and then the subway scene alone before that, the subway scene was just, whoa. What the? I wasn't expecting that amount of blood and gore in this movie. It was.
Oh, you didn't see the preview to this?
I never did see the preview to this
movie. Okay.
You know, I have an inclination of what this movie is about.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking it's a zombie movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then I read the back of the cover for the DVD, the Blu-ray, and I'm reading and it's like, this might be completely different. Mm-hmm. And then it starts off like, oh, maybe this is like the craziest, because there's the attack scene in the he's trying to get some coffee. And there's that major attack scene, and I'm like, this person is like tearing into this guy, and he's got that maniacal look on his face, that smile, and I'm like, that feels like crazies to me. Like,
yeah.
If anything, OG George Romero's crazies.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then it started escalating from there. And I'm like, wait, what? And then, oh, no, the hospital scene too. The hospital scene. There's a point in the hospital where it's like, okay, I don't want to give too much, but this is strictly for 21 and over. I don't think even the 18-year-olds can handle this.
No.
Even though it's implied... And they show visuals, but not complete visual of the acts that are actually happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. The idea of it there is there. The idea of the, like, these are zombies, but at the same time, they're just orgy. Orgy. Blood orgies. I'm not talking about like vampire blood orgies. I'm not talking about society blood orgies. I'm not talking about DD baby oil. Maybe DD baby oil orgy kind of deal.
No!
Maybe, but like with blood. Kind of. I got that. Yeah, I get that feeling. You know? It's like,
I can't believe you went there.
DD, Jay-Z, Beyonce, but
no.
Colored in Blood. The sadness.
It's like,
but overall, it's an incredible movie. It's well done.
Yeah.
Tell you that. It's well done. The cinematography is amazing. I like it to the point where they're all watching the president on the TV. And as they're watching it, you see what happens. And they're like, okay, you people are effed.
Yeah.
Completely effed now. You're completely effed. There's no surviving this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then you had this ending where it's just like, you think people are going to survive. No. No.
I actually forgot about the ending.
Night of the Living Dead directly, man. Like, nobody survives. Yeah. I'm not giving it too much away because though you got to watch the whole thing.
You pretty much said it.
I did. I didn't say how it happened.
Yeah.
But it's like every other zombie movie that, like, you think it's going to be safe. They're going to be okay. Mm-hmm. You know. Yeah, it's raw, it's crazy, it's depraved. I loved it. The sadness, everybody. So that's my review. That's what I watch on Saturday. And then from Sunday on, actually, I'm going to list off some of the stuff that I have watched since last Thursday, as a matter of fact, on to this week. And so I'm going to rapid fire that after you give your second review.
Yeah.
Which movie did you plan on choosing to talk about?
Ooh, so out of all the other movies I got to add to my marathon, I think I want to talk about Dario Argento's Tenebrae. I watched for the very first time on Tubi. Is that considered giallo?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
Giallo,
like,
horror.
Yeah.
You know, it's at that point already where Argento was already applying all the splatter and gore effects from other horror movies that he's done since. Yeah,
not necessarily my favorite, but it's a very digestible slasher type of movie, especially when a killer is following, you know, I don't want to repeat the word depravity, but the depravity of a book that an author has written and is basically killing people based off that.
So here's the idea of giallo. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is compared to like a Pulp Fiction, where it's ultra violence, ultra like sexualization.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's where giallo comes from. It's a lot of, when you look at a lot of giallo movies, a lot of it has the same kind of like, there's a sex-crazed killer out to kill women that in the moment are like either half-dressed or fully undressed.
I know, I was getting a little frustrated because part of me was kind of like, oh man, they're really just killing off the women in this movie. And then, you know, of course, there are like the fair share of men who get killed off in this movie, especially, you know, no spoilers, but it is an older movie. But John Saxton is in this movie, and he has a death scene that really took me off guard. And also, oh my God, there's that one chick who's like half dressed and she's only holding like a towel for like an entire 10-minute sequence. I'm like, girl, put some clothes on. She's just walking around this house and listening to music on blast. And I was like, there's a killer in the house. Get out of there. And she's just,
it's a completely different time.
Yeah.
It's completely different
It has a camp to it. It's very, you know, of its charm. Although I do feel bad for that one girl who actually, like, she, you know, she goes to the house and discovers, you know, where the killer is hiding out, where the killer resides. Mm-hmm. And right when I was like thinking to myself, I was like, girl, get out of there, get out of there. She goes ahead, she wraps up the evidence. She's about to make it out very, like, you know, so close. And the killer gets her.
Yeah.
And I was like, man.
Yeah.
I was like, that really had me at the edge of my seat.
That one scene where she's in the kitchen, she's at the table, and just out of nowhere, like, bye-bye arm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your arm is gone.
I did have, like, an inkling of who the killer was, and then the movie does decide to take a few twists and turns where I'm like, okay, maybe not. Maybe my answer is not the one person. And then, long and behold, these new red herrings, they start getting killed off, and I'm like, okay, I go back to my original answer. I was right all along. I knew it.
That's the basic storyline for giallo and what immediately afterwards became the basis for slasher films thereafter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you know, Giallo started the whole idea of like, oh, if you're in some way, you know, doing immoral things, you're gonna get killed.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because it had to do with what the killer's motivation was. It's like, hey, you're corrupted, you're sinning, mm-hmm. I'm going to kill you. You know?
Just like Jason.
Yeah.
Jason, like, oh, I died because the camp counselors were having sex. Yeah. Now, everybody that has sex in Crystal Lake, I'm going to kill them all.
You know what I really appreciated about watching?
Or do drugs.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, one thing I really appreciated about watching a movie, especially in this time era, was that I like how when the whole showdown is finished, it cuts to the credits.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that, like, you know, I'm so jaded by, like, modern movies nowadays trying to have a scene that follows up that gives you, like, oh, maybe there's going
to
be a sequel.
Everybody wants maybe to be like to Marvel. Wrap it up. They all want to be like Marvel. Yeah. Yeah.
Because once the final death happens and you hear the scream, the blood-curdling scream, mm-hmm. it goes straight to the credits. It's like, perfect. That's all I need.
Yeah.
I don't need to know if there's some mystery that I need to wait after the credits for, or I don't need to know that there might be a sequel. Like, no. This is a one done.
One
that's
done.
It.
Standalone.
Don't give me no more twists, endings, or whatever. Mm-hmm. You gave us one.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel the same way about popcorn.
Mm.
Popcorn is the same way, you know. You just get one movie. There's no sequel.
Yeah,
yeah.
You don't have to try and make it seem like there's gonna be one. You know, just one done. That's it.
That's it, man.
That's it.
So overall, Dario Argento, Tenebrae.
Yeah,
you liked it.
I liked it.
It's good.
I liked it.
Awesome,
yeah.
Awesome. Solid. Thumbs up on that one. And this is, you know, this is, you go down the Giallo rabbit hole, you're going to find a whole bunch of stuff. All right, so I'm going to do rapid fire real quick.
Do it.
And it's going to start off with a Giallo that I recently watched.
What'd you watch?
I watched Torso, released back in 1973, directed by Sergio Martino.
Ooh, okay.
He's a prolific director in Italy, too. He's made a bunch of Giallo and some horror and some Western, I believe. Because Spaghetti Western and Giallo, there's like the top
very
films to
Italian.
Be made in the 70s. Yeah. Yeah. Torso is, okay, it's going to sound familiar.
Okay.
It's going to sound familiar. Okay. A killer is out killing co-eds while they're in the midst of being intimate with a partner.
Cherry Falls?
Sounds familiar.
What else?
He's attacking co-eds. And it's basically, you know, it's a group of girls.
Yeah.
All together. It's a group of girls that they have some kind of tie. Like, why are they all, you know, like, they're best friends. One of them
sorority row?
Yeah, basically. So you follow the story of these girls. They have numerous like red herrings. Like one girl has like, oh, maybe it's her ex-boyfriend that's still stalking her.
Mm-hmm.
Then maybe it's this person that keeps following them. They don't know who he is. Apparently he's a doctor or something, but he always has this like, you know, you always have to have that one character where he's like staring and like, maybe that's the killer.
Maybe that's the killer.
The red herring characters. You gotta love those red herring characters. Thank you to Agatha Christie and everybody else that created that idea. But you get to a point where the girls are taking a break. They're like, oh, there's people killing. These people are dying. What's going on? Let's get out of here. We're all stressed. Our best friends died. Let's go to a house in the countryside. And then apparently the killer's there too. Yeah. Like, okay, we'll get away from for the weekend. We won't be harmed in any way.
Yeah.
And
so does that happen halfway through?
Yeah, that's basically. Yeah, the first part we have two murders.
Okay.
The second phase of it is the girl's trying to understand. You know, maybe it's the ex-boyfriend that's stalking them. Maybe it's this other character that's very strange. They're trying to, you know, the cops are giving them clues of, like, this person was wearing a scarf while he was killing people, and he was using the scarf to strangle the women. His MO is strangling them.
Yeah.
And then for some weird reason, likes to just mutilate the bodies afterwards.
Oh.
Yeah. There's a visual from the killer's mind of him and dolls and tearing the eyeballs out of dolls.
When he does his
killing, he likes to do things to the bodies after it. Remove the eyes and for some reason heart. Like completely. And this is like OG, like 70s gore, so light blood red. light red blood, basically. Yeah,
it looks like pen ink.
And you can tell, like, you know, the skin was made from,
silicone
rubber. I'm like, okay. I'm like, oh, wow. I think at one point I did see a pillow casing covered in blood. Like, that kind of looks like the inside of a body. overall, though, it goes to an ending where you're like, wait, what? Who was the killer the whole time? After you, like, you're thinking, and it's one of those movies too where you think, oh, this girl, she's one of the main characters, and then you get to a point where it's like, oh no, I thought she was the main character.
Do they kill the girl who they think is the final girl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
okay, okay.
And you get a completely different final girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that, if I'm going to be honest with you. I like when people switch up or they red herring the final girl. Like, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street is a perfect example.
Yeah.
Psycho, Scream for a certain amount of
that's right
at some point.
Yeah. You get so invested in characters and you're like, I hope that's the one that survives, and you get a completely different character that survives and stuff. So that's genius filmmaking right there. Overall though, Torso is a really good giallo, and I picked that among so many other giallo titles. Because Tubi has this listing where it's like Italian horrors and giallo. And I look at it, it's like, this is all giallo. What are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
This is Inferno? That's a dark. That's horror. Suspiria? Yeah, that's horror. Don't Torture a Duckling? Lucio Fulci directed that. I watched that one. You want to talk about children dying? you want to talk about child murderers?
Yeah.
Don't torture a duckling.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Apparently the victims in that movie are little boys. So, Diddy.
Oh my god.
Are you coming for me? She knows. She knows. Rest in peace to Aaliyah. No. But yeah, Torso, really good giallo. The other movie I watched The Majorettes, 1986, directed by none other than the Graveyard Ghoul from Night of the Living Dead, Bill Hinsman, aka Bill Hinsman, and written by John A. Russo, who co-wrote Night of the Living Dead with George Romero. So that's basically like two of the main guys who created Night of the Living Dead. And that movie is, again, It's put out there as an 80s slasher, but it has a total giallo storyline. Just bad acting.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like
the lines are so bad.
So when it comes down to it, you know, if John A. Russo and Bill Hinsman, they really became a duo, because not only did they do The Majorettes in the same town that Night of the Living Dead was made in, you know, right there in Pennsylvania, the town that I'll forget what the name of the town is, but they also made another movie called Flesh Eater, which is a pseudo sequel to Night of the Living Dead, and that basically is almost like the same people that was in The Majorettes is in that movie too. Just for some reason, Flesh Eater has a lower budget. Majorette has a kind of a bigger budget. Just really not acted well, but entertaining enough that, like, you know, I'm a fan for cheesy 80s campy horror movies.
Yeah.
And they made a lot. And some of them had maybe just a budget of $5,000. Some had maybe the bigger budget movies, like, you know, April Fool's Day or Sorority House Massacre or something like that, maybe. Mm-hmm. But this one, The Majorettes, you follow the story of this kind of like a cheerleader type group. And they all start dying off. Again. Why is the killer going after half-naked cheerleader girls?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You get this one girl that's like, oh, I'm doing something in the whole shtick of like, oh, let's go to Lover's Lane. Nothing bad will happen there. We'll just make out.
Right.
We'll just make out. Okay? Nothing bad will ever happen deep in the dark woods on a foggy night. And you and me making out in the front seat. And then all of a sudden, you get the classic, somebody's out there. I love that. You know how many horror movies there is? Where they're like, they're in the car and they're like, I thought I heard something. I think somebody's out there. I'll go look. I'll be right back.
Oh, man.
This is why the I'll be right back phrase got so popular from Scream. Because when you go back and look at all the slasher movies that came out in the 80s, you're like, yeah, they did say I'll be right back.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and this movie is weird. The killer in this movie is in all camouflage. And he does a lot of deep breathing too.
I got respiratory disease. They're having sex. I gotta kill them.
Kind of deal, you know. Right.
And then you hear the asthma pump.
Yeah. Which they did in Student Bodies. You ever heard that movie?
No.
So there's a horror comedy movie that came out in 81. It's called Student Bodies. And at that time, it was parodying all the slasher movies. And the killer was like falling around hot chilies going.
See, addressing some of those weird tropes too is like one of my favorite thing is when you watch Evil Dead and they go that basement door flies open. It's like, mm-hmm. What was that? Oh, it's probably the wind. And then in the cabin in the woods, they're like, what part of that even makes sense? There's not a draft in here.
Exactly, man. But it's good entertainment. It's overall good entertainment. Yeah. Majorettes. If you're looking to watch a low-budget slasher film and you're a fan of like really low-budget, cheesy stuff, give it a look-see. Lots of blood, lots of nudity. It's the 80s, man. Come on.
Oh, you know.
On Sunday, I did watch VHS 85, which is a really good anthology, the sixth installment in the series. I never even seen 95 and 99 yet.
Nope, same.
Yeah.
I went straight to 85 just like you did.
Yeah, yeah. I just saw VHS 1, 2, Viral, this is part 3, and then that's the last one I watched. Mm-hmm. I didn't watch 99 or 95. So 85 came out no more than like maybe 2 years ago or just last year or something like that.
Last year.
So I picked that one up. Great installment. Lots of cool segments in it. I like the lake story.
Okay, the lake story was like one of my favorite ones. I think the other one would have to be the one that was directed by Scott Derrickson.
Which one is that?
The Dream Kill.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, that's yeah. That's
so the lake one. Yeah. And that one. Those are my two favorite ones. I didn't care for the other ones. I didn't care about you.
For there was always one story that glues all of the...
Yeah, the overall story.
And that's the one where it's like some weird like creature thing that's in the science department on a college campus.
I only admire that one because the director of that did The Ritual, the Hellraiser remake, and The Night House. So I like David Bruckner. As a director, he's really good.
I haven't seen The Night House yet. I'm gonna check that one out too. I heard that was a pretty good movie.
It's one of those movies that they don't give you a lot of answers, but it is a really interesting premise.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope it's better than Night Swim.
I think so.
Overall, VHS 85 was a really good installment. Awesome segment. So it's a good anthology film. Mm-hmm. The series alone is a good anthology series. Those guys should like collaborate with the dudes that make the people that make Trick or Treat and like come up with something because we need Trick or Treat should be a series.
Yeah, I agree.
Just gave us one. You know, they could get another little person to play Sam.
Well, I mean, Michael Dougherty just like that's his property, man. Like, he needs to give us a second one. Everyone wants another one.
We do.
We're just waiting.
Yeah. But just one alone has skyrocketed Sam as a cool icon.
Horror icon, yeah.
Right? You know, you get the family. If you get the family together, you know, you have Chucky there. You got to have Sam there too, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. They need candy.
By the way, Trick or Treat's very, very good one to watch on Halloween.
It's really good anthology. This is in the realm of anthology horror films for this generation, Trick or Treat, and then you have the VHS installments. Although I haven't watched 99 and 95 yet, One and two are awesome.
Oh yeah, solid.
When they first came out, the siren segment in the first one, just that's the first story, and I'm like watching this, like, wait, what's going on? It's like, oh, these guys are out to have like a good time on the town, get some girls back to the hotel room, have a little fun, not knowing that the one girl is a succubus with wings. And it's, her face rips open, and has teeth in her middle of her face. Yeah, love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
So, I like the last one. The one where the guys head to the haunted house and then there's nobody there. Or they go to a Halloween party and then there's nobody at the house and then there's a cult thing happening up in the attic.
Is that like a kind of like an Asian cult deal? Like, is it Asian or something like that? I think I remember like there's like a bunch of Asian people and they're just like in the house.
I think you're confusing that part, with VHS 2.
Is that 2? Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
and that one was directed by the same guy who did The Raid.
Oh, okay. So, now I understand.
Yep.
Right.
But, that one was Safe Haven. That one was the best short
from VHS 2.
VHS 2, yeah.
I agree.
That one
is very
nightmare-inducing.
But there's one segment from VHS 2. So, first one had a spin-off movie. That's Siren. That's a succubus storyline. And then the second one, off of that Alien Slumber Party storyline, they had a spin-off movie that came out a couple of years back called Kids vs. Aliens. That's available on Hulu, I believe, so I gotta check that one out.
Oh, okay, I was just gonna ask you. I was gonna ask you if the aliens look the same.
I have not. Yeah. You know, I have to go revisit VHS 2 to understand.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, because I completely forgot what that segment was about. But overall, there's 9 in the VHS anthology series. There's 1, 2, Viral, 94, 99, and then 85. And now this year with the release of VHS Beyond, which is on Shudder. I don't have Shudder, so I just have to wait for either a media release or find it streaming someplace else. Because sometimes stuff that's on Shudder ends up on other
Tubi platforms. A lot later,
Tubi,
maybe.
Yeah. Tubi has Tubi only has VHS 1, 2, and Viral. They don't have the other ones yet, so I think this is only still exclusive to Shudder.
Shudder.
Yeah. Other movies I have watched this week alone, I've been on a gothic horror movie marathon. So since Monday, I've watched Lust for a Vampire from Hammer Studios, released back in 1971. Gothic lesbian vampire movie. It has to do with the storyline of Carmilla Kernstein.
Oh, I'm sure.
Okay, it's the Carmilla Kernstein. Carmilla, the story of Carmilla alone is about a female vampire that only has a attraction to women.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she doesn't take the blood from men. She rather take the blood from young virginal women that she can seduce. So, Lust for a Vampire.
Yeah.
Lots of lusting going on. Yeah. And it's a girl's, and it takes place near an old castle. The old Karnstein Castle, adjacent to the Karnstein Castle, is an old girl's primary school. So, lesbian vampire. What can I say about that one? To the boys, and the ladies too. If you know, get it out there. There's a lot of they made a lot of lesbian vampire movies. Night of the Werewolf, 1981, aka Return of the Werewolf. It's one of the Paul Naschy Count Waldemar Daninsky movie. Called Waldemar Daninsky is a werewolf. And he made several of that wolfman's movies. So there's like installment after installment. There's one called The Werewolf versus the Yeti, where it's for some weird reason, I'm getting it mixed up. I think it was Dracula versus Frankenstein, where aliens resurrect universal monsters, but it's not universal. It's a version of universal monsters. So you get Dracula, the Wolfman,
okay,
Frankenstein's monster, and the Mummy. And overall, though, this is a Spanish film series.
Yeah.
So it's not Mexico, Spain.
yeah.
to Spain. So Paul Naschy, originally named Jacinto Molina Alvarez. Sounds Filipino. Sounds like a this could be, you know, I'm pretty sure there's a Jacinto Alvarez someplace in the Philippines right now.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or a Jacinto Molina. Yeah. Nickname Jack.
Jack.
Jacinto, nickname Jack. Jack. Okay. Overall, though, that one, again, lesbian vampires. It's another Karnstein vampire resurrecting and has only eyes for women. You know, it's that whole idea. But then you have the wolfman has to go, you know, versus the vampire. It's interesting to see vampire women fighting a wolfman.
Yeah. Underworld.
If you see the picture of the Paul Naschy wolfman, you'll be like, oh, I seen that image someplace before because he's popular. He passed away back in 2009, but overall, though, he has gone down in history as being Spain's Lon Chaney. Yeah, so like how Lon Chaney was like the master of monsters for Universal, you know, Lon Chaney, like the early days in silent film era, and then his son was like, he played Frankenstein monster, he played Wolfman, he played Dracula. So overall, they're saying that Paul Naschy was that for Spain. He's the Spain horror icon.
So, good.
Awesome film.
Good for him.
Not really awesome film, but if you're interested in like really gothic, Spanish-made horror movies, the Paul Naschy films are the ones to check out. He made one called Horror Rises from the Tomb, and that is not part of the Wolfman storyline, but that one is a complete like Night of the Living Dead meets vampires meets Satan. Devil worshipping kind of deal.
Yeah.
Interesting. That really good vampire, not vampire, but zombie makeup in that movie. Because when I first watched it, I was like, this is scary. But they don't eat flesh. They're just servants.
Mm.
Like, you know, like zombie slave, kind of like the voodoo style zombies.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of those deals. And then the last night I watched Moon of the Wolf, released back in 1972. At the time, it was the ABC Movie of the Week. Good old-fashioned TV, made-for-TV horror movie. They made a lot back in the 70s. 70s was very popular for TV horror. You had Gargoyles, Salem's Lot. You had, let me think. Quite a few. Can't name off the top of my head, but Moon of the Wolf being one of those ones where it's a classic gothic storyline of just people in the bayou all of a sudden dying, and they're finding these people ripped apart. But of course, this is TV movie, so all you see is just a body lumped on the ground.
Yeah,
with just a little drops of blood
Driplets.
Yeah,
that's all we can afford.
Yeah, they couldn't do full on gore. There's some TV movies that were scary enough and imply that this person is being slaughtered and ripped apart, but they never went full on bloody for TV films. But some of them were scary enough. I mean, Salem's Lot alone was an awesome TV series, the original, not the new one. Moon of the Wolf is, it borrows from the folklore, actually the Louisiana Bayou Southern folklore of the Rougarou. You ever heard of that?
No.
The Rougarou is a folklore of that came over from, I believe, Haiti. Because it's like, it's Cajun Creole mixed folklore.
Okay.
Along with voodooism and stuff like that. And the idea is that the Rougarou is a human being that can take the form of a wolf. Naturally, though, like kind of like dog soldiers type werewolves.
Okay.
Yeah, you know,
like lycans.
Like lycan style. Yeah, but they couldn't do that for a TV movie back in 1972, so they just made the guy look like the Wolfman.
So standing on 2 feet, still got the clothes on.
Yeah, yeah.
Two arms.
Button up to the collar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All you have is the hand and
hairy
the
arms and hairy face. Yeah.
And the bad dog nose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
I don't mind that. I don't mind that sometimes.
You don't mind? Yeah. No, it's nostalgic to me because I'm coming off growing up with all of these gothic horror movies that I saw as a kid. I never watched Moon of the Wolf when I was a kid, but I remember watching Curse of the Werewolf. I remember watching all the different Dracula movies that came out, The Mummy, Peter Cushing's Frankenstein films. You know, he did Christopher Frankenstein, Evil of Frankenstein, and it had this overall the same feeling you get when you're a kid and you watch your favorite cartoon. I get the same feeling when we watch these types of movies and be like, wow, this is compared to everything I have experienced since, this is just good old fashioned horror, without all the chainsaw, bloodletting, gory stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although Hammer did try to be like that. And here's the scary thing though with Hammer horror movies at the time, it was all PG. Even though there's ample amount of nudity in it. Again, the 70s was a different time.
Yeah. No, I could probably say the same thing. You remember the original Romeo and Juliet live-action iteration?
Yeah, yeah.
There was nudity in it.
There was. It was PG. It was PG. Yeah. My mom didn't remember watching that in theaters when it first came out. That was the 70s. That was the 70s, man. And, Yeah. Here's the thing too, in the 80s, they got away with some stuff.
They did.
They got away. So that's why when I think about it, I remember when you were talking about Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
And it's a hard PG-13. There's a lot of hard PG-13s in the 80s, man.
Yeah.
I mean, Raiders of the Lost Ark wasn't PG-13, it was a hard PG.
Yeah.
But just for a scene, just for a split second of a man's face melting, that was really horrific and traumatic to me.
Yeah.
Very hurt. Poltergeist.
Same special effects team. Poltergeist. There was that melting face scene. Yeah. And it's PG.
It's PG. And the guy's ripping his skin off.
Oh, goodness gracious. That's
I like that.
Hibby jibbers.
Anyways, that's it for this episode of The Local Show. Mahalo for coming in again, man.
Yeah.
Hope you come in again next Thursday. I'm going to have a whole bunch of other horror movies to talk about.
Yeah.
You'll probably have a whole bunch of other horror movies to talk about as well.
I might skip out on Smile 2 this week, but we'll watch some oldies, man.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm gonna do too. I'm gonna watch some oldies. I think I might find something. I'm interested in this other one. Was that is it Hold Your Breath with Sarah Paulson? With
Sarah Paulson. Yeah. I just got done watching that one.
I'm interested in checking that one out as well. So that's it for The Local Show. All right. Mahalo for listening in. And enjoy your weekend and watch some horror movies, kids. It's October season.
Halfway through.
Yes, sir.
Aloha, my name is Evelyn Del Valle. Roots Reborn, a grassroots organization dedicated to empowering and uplifting Maui's migrant and immigrant communities, is thrilled to invite you to our second annual Dia de los Muertos celebration. Join us on Saturday, November 2nd from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the J.W. Cameron Center in Wailuku for an unforgettable evening of cultural traditions. This family-friendly event will feature a live mariachi performance, folklorico dance, delicious foods, a bustling mercadito, a little market, and a special keiki zone featuring activities ran by community organizations. Come celebrate with us as we honor the rich culture of Dia de los Muertos and foster unity within our community. For tickets and more information on how to get involved, please visit www.rootsreborn.org. Mahalo!
The the 50s, the 60s, the 70s. Hi, this is Steve Summers welcoming you aboard the Oldies Time Machine right here on KAKU. Enjoy special features like the Diner Tune, the Motown Memory, the Doo-Wopper, and the Elvis Moment. Come on! Spend an hour inside the Oldies Time Machine, Sunday mornings at 1 and 10 a.m. right here on the Voice of Maui, KAKU.
KKU, 88.5 FM, the Voice of Maui.
The Sonic Cafe.
What is this?
This is reality.
What reality?
Reality is reality.
Perception is reality.
This throws my entire perception of reality into question.
The Sonic Cafe.
Featuring intelligent, eclectic music, comedy, and pop culture.
What even is reality?
What reality?
We're the Sonic Cafe.